Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, we've made it to the end of Carolla Classics. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new show. And I appreciate it. I appreciate us going into 11 years. We're going to cross the 11-year mark in, I don't know, 7-8 weeks. So we got that to look forward to. Also, you can go to Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y.com, and take a look at all the great content there. Uppity is shipping. You can check out my new book, which I think is up for pre-order on Amazon. What is it called? I'll Be Your Emotional Support Dog or something like that. That's some stupid name. You can go find it. Just go search around and pre-order it on Amazon. It's a funny book. And AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows around the country. So, now, enjoy and enjoy your last Carolla Classic before we get into brand new original content coming Monday.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello and welcome back to Carolla Classics for January 3rd, 2020. The show where we highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show, almost 11 years of podcasting under that man's belt. And we're playing you some of the best clips that he's ever recorded.
And for his own confusion, he hits 11 years on the episode that posts on February 23rd, 2020, and that begins the 12th year. And then the 12th year commences when he hits the following 2/23/2021.
He'll never understand.
It bothers me every time he forgets, because then I forget, even though I haven't forgot. So it's like, wait a minute, why am I confused? I know what the hell this works.
All right, well, let's get going with some clips. You're probably wondering, who are these people talking? Well, my name's Chris Loxamana, the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And that other guy, that's Carolla Archive of Superfan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody.
And hey to you, Gio. Now let's get going with some clips. This first clip is from 2013, and it's the original Throwing Stars discussion.
Featuring the most famous cast member from Die Hard, Robert Davi, David Wilde, Alison Rose, and Brian Bishop. This is from March of 2013, and it's Ace Award winner, original Throwing Stars discussion.
You can also carry on lacrosse sticks, billiard and hockey sticks, ski poles, and up to two golf clubs. Did you know that you couldn't fly with golf clubs?
Well, James Baby Doll Dixon has worked his way around this little conundrum.
What does he do?
He's got a set of golf clubs at in every state. Oh. It's sort of like Ricky Nelson and Traveling Man.
Oh, yeah, like that.
You just replace the women with golf clubs, and that's what Baby Doll.
Like any port in a storm.
Yeah, we'll find that song. You know what I'm saying.
That's usually what happens to Republicans. They replace the women with golf clubs.
Yeah, instead of packing your bitch, you have one in every port.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
That's right.
It's diversifying. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that this is because the reason they're changing the rules is because of the holdup these types of items cause at security checkpoints. Although, I think I speak for
played
all of us.
Played a lot of golf.
When I say I doubt it's going to suddenly be faster.
And every course I keep some clubs and one caddy shack. Sand wedge down in Riviera Way.
You still can't bring meat cleavers.
What?
Sabers.
Springs. What?
Brass knuckles, throwing stars, billy clubs, swords, or cattle prods. They're still not allowed.
I would guess that the throwing stars never not worked in a movie.
Yeah, but in real life, what's the...
I think it has a much lower batting average in real life.
I don't think I've ever even seen one.
The throwing stars?
Yeah.
You never do?
Those are those...
In the movies.
I mean, in real life.
Bruce Lee films.
And they work every time. It gets the
guy right in the eye and
it's the lowest percentage throw there is. The knife thrower, the throwing star. It takes the guard. And by the way, you have to take the guard out silently.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you what I would sound like if I got hit with a throwing star. What the fuck? What the fuck? Oh! Oh, my fucking shoulder! Oh, goddamn, am I pissed? Who the fuck did this? Where's my fucking alarm? I'm going to Oh! That's what it would sound like. It would not be, and then I'd hit the ground. There'd be a lot of pissing and moaning. Mostly pissing and moaning.
There's a lot of pissing and moaning without the star.
The fuck kind of animal would do this to somebody? Oh! Steve, come here!
I'm a rental cop!
God damn! Oh! Fucking just had this fucking uniform clean. Just had it pressed. Just got it back from the fucking... God damn it, there's another fucking throwing star hole. I am sounding the alarm so fucking loud on your ass, and I am shooting you when I find you. It would be the exact opposite of what you're trying to attempt with the throwing star.
If I ever had to throw one, I would throw it underhand and I would miss.
I feel like almost all the ninja tactics.
Mm-hmm. Like nunchucks.
Nunchucks be the same. Shit, that hurt. What the fuck? This sucks. What? Oh, my elbow. Then they do the glass fragment thing where they throw the crushed glass in your eyes. It'd be more belly. Right. Ah, my eyes. Come on. There'd be a lot of noise.
There should be a film that does that. That would be hysterical.
Just one time.
Real reactions.
Sneak up on the guy, throw the knife or the throwing star, and have it like stick into his fleshy part of his upper arm and have him just start screaming.
Speaking of martial arts, have you ever done the karate chop thing onto a piece of wood? And do you think if you did that it would actually break?
Well, coming from a guy who worked with wood for a living, I can tell you that there's a karate chopping wood, which is knotty, dried up knotty pine, which has basically the tensile strength of matzah. but you don't see him trying it with plywood, oriented strand board, or hardwoods such as oak and woods like that. That you karate chop a piece of oak, it'll break your hand. You karate chop a piece of dried out knotty pine, your hand will go right through it. So it's always brittle stuff. As a matter of fact, if you ever want to know what's good in an earthquake and what's not good in an earthquake, just watch one of these late-night karate tournaments on ESPN3. They're breaking cinder blocks and they're breaking knotty pine, but they'll never break plywood. No one karate chops stucco. Nobody karate chops a shear wall or 2x4s or anything that's made up like oriented strand board or something like that, or glue lamb beam or paralam. Maybe I've said too
much. You know all these terms.
Used to be my life. It was my life, Robert.
You were
like Sinatra. You have a passion for Sinatra.
My grandfather was worked in a lumber yard. Wood was his passion. My father's father.
That's me and him would be simpatico.
And that was Robert Davi, the singer, and also the greatest cast member from Die Hard, back in 2013, in the original Throwing Stars discussion. Also won an ACE Award.
There are two other infamous throwing star clips.
That's right. I know. And
they're completely different.
They are completely different, and I think that's the ticket. If you want to have a legendary moment on the show, bring up throwing stars and just see.
One of the throwing stars ones is a parking attendant who throws ticket throwing stars. So you said that's the ticket. You're literally describing one of them. It's with Joe Coy and the Meter Maid Ninja.
That's right. That was a live show to Malfi.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Let's get going with this next clip. This is from last year, February. And it's just a fun clip with about Dr. Drew.
Uh-huh. And his predilection for what he does to the newsgirl's chair on The Adam Carolla Show. From February 2019, Adam Carolla Show 2501, Nate Adams, Gina Grant, and Brian Bishop. Dr. Drew, the blank blank.
All the powder-based drugs over the studio. I don't know. I just feel like, look, there's booze and there's pot. That's, you know, we're doing a wedding. You want the chicken or you want the steak? Like, we're good. We're good. Yep. You don't need to go fondue.
But you can't give a kid alcohol or weed when they won't sit down in school. You give them Ritalin and Adderall, which is kind of messy.
Such a weird thing. That history is not going to be kind. Dark and, period. You know, I don't like to talk about myself being right on this show, but so many. Drew is sat right where you're sitting. Gina Grad sniffed the seat, and then he sat down right where you're sitting.
Awesome.
Okay?
Sure.
Right where you're sitting. Sniffed it, sat down.
I'm sorry. I got that he sat here, and he sits in this chair, but what else did he do?
He sits in that chair.
But he also did what? He sniffed it?
Well, no. He told me when I was telling him about like OxyContin and all that kind of stuff. After he's done sniffing the seat. He said to me.
He sniffs the seat after I sit here.
No, OxyContin you take. It's a pill form. You don't snort it. Snort it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It must be close to
the period. Oh, you could probably crush it up. Things.
Okay. But is he sniffing the seat before he sits down to do a show with you?
I think he's a fentanyl addict.
Oh, my God.
Is he sniffing the other seat?
No, is he sniffing the seat that I sit in? Does he sit in this chair and then sniff the seat before he sits down?
He's not going to sit on you if you're in the seat.
I'm not worried about that at all. I'm just wondering if you can clarify what you said.
He sniffs the seat, and then he said to me.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know what he said.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'd like to hear the story.
Holding up the works here.
He finished. He licked his index finger and rubbed his right nipple.
And then he said.
After I sat here and left?
Oh, we're still talking about this.
Gina, this isn't about you.
It feels like it's about me.
Okay.
It's more about your seat.
Maybe you need one of them pellets. So I'm telling you this.
And that's from 2019, talking about the great Dr. Drew, who had an incredible year on the Adam Carolla Show, even though he wasn't really there. And I'm talking about the checked out Drew drops. Those
one of the funniest things ever done. Yeah. And this also, in his absence, making fun of something that he supposedly does is also quite hilarious. Dr. Drew, the seat sniffer.
That's right. All right. Now, we've been doing this a few times. We're going to play another clip of Matt Atchity returning to play Rotten or Fresh, which turns out to be what we call the Rotten Tomatoes game now. And this is the fourth time the game has ever been played.
Yeah, it was the episode with Stephen Brody Stevens, Matt Atchity, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. This is the portion with just Matt Atchity, Allison, and Brian, along with Adam. It's from January of 2013. We've gotten tons of requests for more Rotten Tomatoes game. So we're going to be giving it to you in this episode. This is Adam Carolla Show 1241.
I told you that you guys have made my brother very happy with this song.
Oh, it's
because I'm used to, I get feedback when I do the show. I hear from a lot of listeners, and it's great to hear the feedback. But my brother, who doesn't do much media for Rotten Tomatoes because he doesn't work for us, he now, when he calls people at work and they can tell that it's him, they pick up the phone and they're singing, Anthony!
Again, the game would be like in Rush if I guessed 87 and it was 89, then you could add 2 to my tally.
There you go.
All right, let's play it.
It is the first of the year, so we'll play the whole song.
Oh, hell yeah.
Time, I really hope it isn't lame. Please let's go.
All right.
It makes me feel so welcome. I love that you guys did that. That's so good
because plenty of people hate their songs.
I love that.
No, I love it. Mine's CB Savage now. All right. So the theme, Matt.
All right. The theme today, in honor of one of the Oscar nominees, Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do Matthew McConaughey movies.
All right.
So we'll start early in his career, 1993. Big cast, lots of other stars, went on to do great things. The movie, Dazed and Confused.
Mm. I'm writing these down, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Dazed and Confused.
A lot of stars before they were stars.
Yeah.
A lot of stars who are no longer stars.
Right.
Hey, Rory Cochrane is due for a comeback.
Fun, fun
Ben
movie.
Affleck in this.
Yeah, liked it.
Cole Hauser. Londons.
For a while, it was McConaughey's my favorite role for him because that dude who it's a great part of life where there is a part of life where all you have above somebody is 2 years, mm-hmm. but you will lord it over
that.
Yeah,
that's them. Epic. That's a huge distance in high school.
Yeah, but or when the guy's in high school and you're 2 years out of high school. Like, I'm sure at some point Richard Branson at 16 and a half or 17 had to kiss the ass and look up to a 19-year-old dude just because he had an El Camino. You know what I'm saying? Like, had to kiss his ass because he had a full-time gig and just a little money in his pocket.
What's funny is when I saw that, I thought McConaughey was so much older than they were. Like, I thought he was like 35.
Yeah.
Well, they play him up to look older.
Yeah. I enjoy it. But he was only supposed to be a few years out of high school, wasn't he?
It's the mustache.
I love that role. The movie, the music's great and all that kind of stuff. The pacing doesn't hold up that well. It's just kind of, Also, the part where the 140-pound guy is the star of the football team and the coach wants him to sign a thing that says Mary.
Randall right. Pink Floyd?
Yes. I will just jump out. But an easy movie to like as a critic, I will say 77.
Whoa.
You saw my 78. That's what I had written down.
You both saw my 75. I think that drug thing turned off a few critics, but this is a very good movie.
Directed by Richard Linklater, who directed Before Sunset, Before Sunrise. You guys are all shockingly low. 94.
Whoa.
94% certified fresh.
I'm in the
lead. 94.
Good job, Allison.
Yeah, good
Thank
job.
You.
Well, wasn't that good?
I was going to say, now I think it's overrated.
Right. But it is one of the ones where the audience was lower than the critics, which you don't oftentimes see. All right.
Dawson,
here we go.
How many times did you see this in the theater?
I never saw it in the theater. Never saw it in the theater, but I've since then, as soon as I got it on DVD, I've watched it at least 200 times.
Right. And McConaughey's got it lost. Right. Exactly. It'd be a lot better if you did.
You know what's weird, though? Getting high and watching movies where other people get high is like if I liked porn, but it was only dudes beating off. Like, I like to see dudes handling their own cock.
I'm following you down that train. That
you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to see dudes beating off in my porn. I'd like to see chicks getting laid.
That's why I didn't see it in the theater, because I wanted to beat off.
Oh, right. No, I didn't mean exactly.
Well, that makes
you know
too
what
much
I'm saying.
Sense.
There's a lot of movies where people like to see, they see exactly what they're doing. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Allison, enjoy your lead, baby. Here we go.
Thank you.
All right. A few years later, more serious role, based on a John Grisham novel, A Time to Kill.
Mm-mm.
One of the first times we see Matthew McConaughey as a lawyer. Won't be the last time we see him as one, though.
Boy, I don't remember seeing this, and I don't remember anything about it.
Fellow Oscar nominee this year, Sandra Bullock. Samuel L. Jackson. That's the one where Sam Jackson.
Chris Cooper's in this.
McConaughey is defending Sam Jackson against in court,
mm-hmm.
a racist southern town.
Oh, okay. All right, so we have to write our score down. Otherwise, it's no fair. Otherwise, I'll just go wherever
Joel
Brian
Schumacher's
went.
First movie after Batman Forever.
I got a beat on it. I didn't see the movie. I don't remember that much about it, but it sounds like a good theme to like as a critic. But I don't remember it being that good that it would have gotten. So I'll go. All right. 71.
My impression was critics were like, he's the new Paul Newman, and they were freaking out. I'm going 85. 85%.
I'm going 58. Ooh. Just because.
Mm.
67%.
Whoa!
Oh, boy. This is a tight...
I am falling way behind.
Tight race.
What did you guess it was, Adam?
I said 71.
Whoa.
All right.
I have fallen far behind.
All right. Here next up, a starring role. He's the lead in the movie. It's the second movie that year about people who are on TV 24 hours a day. This is Ed TV.
Saw it in the theater. Enjoyed it. Oh, no, wait a minute. I think I'm thinking of the wrong one.
You're thinking of the Truman Show?
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Truman.
That's with Jim Carrey.
This one is.
This one is his brother's played by Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
They're now co-starring on.
Oh, boy.
Is this Rob Reiner or is this Ivan Reitman?
Rob Reiner is in this. Ron Howard directed.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea on this
Jenna
one.
Elfman is at the beginning of the movie dating Woody Harrelson. Matthew McConaughey falls for her.
All right.
Ellen DeGeneres is the network exec.
All right.
This was a bad movie, but I say the score is buoyed a little bit by Ron Howard's involvement because he's a critic's darling, 50%.
I wrote down 60.
I wrote down 61.
Ooh, I wrote down 61, too, and then I crossed it off and wrote 60.
Oh. Allison was closest, 64%.
God damn it.
That's almost exactly what happened last time.
I kind of
crossed down my 61 and went the wrong direction. Woo! Me and Allison got to be pretty close about now. All right, here we go into the championship rounds.
All right, two more left. This one was a big movie in 2006, directed by McGee, based on a true story, a tragic story about a football team that got wiped out in a plane crash. The movie is We Are Marshall.
Mm. I got recruited to play football at Marshall, but I have to point out to everyone it was shortly after the plane crash, or possibly during. So they weren't the powerhouse to think of now. Or at least a few years ago. All right. Hard to say shitty things about this movie. I kind of saw bits and pieces. I saw three quarters of it on cable. I don't think anyone thought it was great. But on the other hand, it's hard to, you know, put the thumbs down for a movie about a bunch of dead guys and kind of a nice ending and black quarterback and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to go 74.
All right. I said 82. I remember this being a feel-good movie everyone liked.
And I said 81.
49%.
What?
What?
What the? 49?
I am shocked by that. This
under
an okay movie.
I was totally fine. Like, the guy was like a period piece. And first off, everyone's just dead of a plane crash. You know, the entire
look
team.
At the audience gave it 80.
It was a real feel-good movie.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't Rudy, but it wasn't 40 points away from Rudy, was it?
No, not at all. I'm
this
really
is
baffled.
One that the critics said that they got too schmaltzy.
I think McGee was on a real cold streak. He did like Charlie's Angels 2 and some
That was the other
movies.
Thing. That was kind of the point where McGee was getting away from doing action and like, let's be dramatic and have
all right, what did the top critics say, Gary? And then we'll, all right, we'll keep going to the last one. Boy, howdy.
All right. Should I even bother?
This last one.
Well, you never know because you can go, here's the whole thing. You can definitely – there is a strategy where if this was the last question, I would have said 30
right.
just on an off chance.
To be
chance.
Off by only so many points.
Yeah, it's not going to – yeah, you may as well let it ride on something big one direction or another. All right. Marshall of 44 was the top critics. Boy, they didn't like this movie.
Not a bad movie.
All right. So this last one, Matthew McConaughey plays an agent – who will go to the ends of the earth to get his client anything he needs, the movie Tropic Thunder. Remember, he's Tug
Speedman's
agent.
That's right. Yeah.
Great cast in this.
I don't see the rotation on cable that much with this movie. I liked it. This and I would like to see this. The one I'm happy for is Drive never shows up on cable either. There's movies. I want to know why. Drive was so critically acclaimed, it's probably 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I've never seen it on cable, and I don't see Tropic Thunder either, and I would like to see that. Lots of great characters in that movie. Tom Cruise is fun in that movie. Robert Downey Jr. is
playing
great.
Playing a dude, pretending to be another dude, dressed as a dude.
Yeah, this is a...
God, gotta be... Drive 93, by the way. All right, I'll go first. I'll write my number down. I'm going to say... 89.
This is one of my all-time favorite comedies. I go 82.
And I went 88.
83.
Ooh, redemption, barely, not really.
Certified Fresh with 229 reviews. People went bananas over this movie.
Adam, Brian, Allison.
I finished second? Oh, no.
Oh, no. We're going to get the numbers. I thought. thought he was saying how we finished.
All right. Well, very wrong.
We'll give you the total. So now on that one, Allison was. I said 89. So I was off. You picked up one on me. Brian, 85. Allison, 65. Adam, 56. All right. Let's get a screen grab of this. And let's have contact lenses made out of it for Allison.
Rotten or fresh. What would I be seeing all the time?
You'd be seeing you at 65 and Brian at 85. Don't worry about me. I'm in a different class. You know, in racing, they have like showroom stock and then they have unlimited.
But I have one on one eye and the other on the other eye. Would I have both on both eyes?
You'd just have... Ooh, interesting.
Interesting.
Now I have to work that one out.
One would give me a crazy headache.
What kind of speech does a coach give to a player who has a bad game like that? That's a six-interception game.
Yeah. Well, there's no need to have a conversation with a perennial all-star like yourself, Brian. You know. You know what I'm saying? Well, what I'm saying is this. When Peyton Manning throws one out there on a screen, it gets picked off because the tight end, because the outside backer's broken off his rush and went and grabbed that wounded duck. No one has to give an earful on the sideline.
No one says we'll get him next time.
Exactly.
It's understood.
He knows what he did wrong.
I feel better.
All right. First, Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You take that extra money, put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day. At geico.com, just go to geico.com, spend a couple minutes, find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com.
And that was a Rotten Tomatoes game back in 2014. I said 2013 earlier, excuse me. But that was the fourth time we've ever played it. We're going to be closing out with some Rotten Tomatoes game.
It basically spread over December 2013 through January 2014. Some of the main first few times they played the game. And then after that, all through 2014 through present day today.
Yeah, caught on like wildfire. All right, before we get started with another game, I want to remind everybody, Adam Carolla will be in Milwaukee January 24th, Chicago January 25th, and in February, he'll be in Cleveland and Indianapolis for stand-up and Adam Carolla's Unprepared. So get your tickets now. And also pre-order his book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our All-Woke, No-Joke Culture. And it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, AdamCarolla.com. It's yellow with Phil and Adam on the cover. You can't miss it. So pre-order now and get your copy in time. All right. This next one, this is another Rotten Tomatoes game, the fifth time we've ever played it.
About a week later, Adam Carolla Show 1246, Joe Casey, Matt Atchie, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. Once again, it's just a game with Matt, Allison, Brian, and Adam.
All right, Matt, you've got some movies. I love the theme song, but I like the game as well.
We can do both.
I'll lay it out first. Matt from Rotten Tomatoes here. We'll pick a genre. You'll pick a celebrity or something. Something's in the news. We don't know what it is now. You give 5-6 movies. We guess the critic on Rotten Tomatoes, not top critic, average critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Whoever is closest or lowest, like a golf score, is going to win the game. We'll combine the scores. Here we go. Yeah, Dick Banks, baby.
Love. I'm so honored every time I hear that song.
I love that song, too. All right.
Any line could have gone anywhere said he's a schlubby guy. It's okay. That's all right.
All right, what is our genre?
Our genre today, in honor of I, Frankenstein, a updated take on a classic Universal monster. I'm doing Universal monster update movies.
Okay. When I see those fucking commercials for like I, Frankenstein, all I want to do is fucking throw my shoe at the TV set. Like I have no interest in this kind of homoerotic mumbo jumbo. It's all just one big mess. I don't, what is that? Like, he's a dark overlord. The city is falling under shadows. How old are you assholes? Right? I know we have a comic book guy coming in next. So I'm going to fucking yell at him too. What's going on?
This is based on a comic book. It's based on a comic book. This one wasn't screened for critics. Right? Nobody hides
a good
movie.
Sign. Yeah.
The story is the monster who's taken on the name Adam Frankenstein. Do you really care? Have I lost?
Well, I just see the commercial. Like, right. I am my father's son. Really? Because I'm actually the son of my uncle whose neighbor lived. The fuck isn't the son of their fucking dad, you asshole?
Yeah.
It looks
terrible. The users on our site aren't interested.
Yuck.
So I don't have a score for that. You know, I'd love to see Aaron Eckhart do better things, but I picked Universal Monsters, you know, the classics, Wolfman, Mummy, Invisible Man. So we're going to go look at some movies.
All right.
First up, Universal resurrected one of their classic monsters in 2010, casting Benicio del Toro as the Wolfman.
Ooh, this one's tough.
I don't even remember this movie.
Anthony Hopkins is in it. Hugo Weaving is in it. Emily Blunt's the co-star. Directed by Joe Johnston, who directed Captain America and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
All right. Pretty good cast. Don't remember hearing a ton of great things about it. But I'm just going to write down a number. All right, has everyone written their number down?
Yes.
All right. I wrote down 46.
All right.
I wrote down 62.
And I'm right in the middle. I said 55. This was nominated for an Oscar, wasn't it?
I believe for makeup.
Special effects,
I believe,
something?
For makeup. You're all way over 34%.
Wow.
All right. There you go. That's why we don't remember it. All right.
All right. Next up, Universal did find some box office success when they adapted the 1932 Boris Karloff film, The Mummy, in 1999. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for the 1999 Mummy starring Brendan Fraser as the hero. Arnold Vosloo plays the mummy. It's with Rachel Weisz.
Yeah. I remember that.
And Pauly Shore.
That's a different movie. Encino Man.
I know.
I remember that had some success. I did not see it.
This did very well at the box office.
All right. Did very well at the box office.
But that doesn't necessarily mean
Or are they?
Or they're not.
All right. I'm coming back again. Just to show my range, 46.
Whoa. I remember this actually being a decent movie. I said 70.
Damn it. I said 54.
I could be wrong.
55%.
Wow. All right.
That's right.
The audience number on this is much higher at 75%. This is one that I think the critics are a little harsher on than they need to be. I like this movie. I mean, it's fun. It's not great.
They're always harsh on these kinds of movies. I mean, when The Mummy comes out and you're a critic who's worth his salt, you're just not going to lick its balls. You don't lick mummy balls.
No, you don't.
All right.
A lot of unwrapping to do.
Here we
go. Cough.
Next up, Francis Ford Coppola's follow-up to The Godfather 3, Bram Stoker's Dracula in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Oldman plays the title character. This is the one that also has Winona Ryder, Keanu Reeves, Anthony Hopkins, Tom Waits. Tom Waits eating bugs, if you remember that one.
Jeez, I can't.
Remember, Oldman had that big, crazy white hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably saw this thing. The problem is there was that De Niro movie where he played the devil that came out about the same.
Pacino.
Pacino movie. Yeah, about the same time. Yeah,
yeah, The Devil's Advocate.
Yes.
Yeah, and the whatever heart, Black Heart or Angel Heart or something
Angel
like
Heart
that.
Angel Heart was the De Niro
with Lisa Bonet.
The De Niro one. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is Bram. All right. I'm going to say I have no idea. 61.
Ooh.
I said 82.
I said 60.
Allison's on a roll. 79% on the
Wow.
That's right.
I don't remember it getting that well.
The name Coppola carried a lot more weight back then.
Well, so. A lot of people do think he redeemed himself. This movie did pretty well at the box office. You know, they made it for $40 million. It opened to like 30. It made $215 million worldwide. A lot of people again thought Coppola did a much better job with that than Godfather 3, and it inspired that same studio, Columbia, to take a chance on the next movie on our list, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
This is the one
that Kenneth Branagh directs and stars as Victor Frankenstein. De Niro plays the monster.
First off, I didn't like these movies anyway, and then when they started telling us who wrote the book, it made me give even less of a shit.
Oh, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Oh, right, exactly. That bitch I never heard of. It died 100 years ago.
Is that Groucho Marx's Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Or Tyler Perry's?
So this is your father's Frankenstein?
Wait, what year was this?
This was 1994. This was 2 years after Dracula. It's from the same studio.
Oh, hold on a second. Gary needs some information for his calculations. You need the last... I did 61 on the last. Brian did 60. Allison did 75.
82.
Oh, you did 82?
Yeah.
And it was
79.
Sorry. All right. There. Got it? Okay. Sorry. Where were we?
All right. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Oh. What year?
1994. This was clearly Sony Columbia trying to capitalize off of their success with Bram Stoker's Dracula.
All right.
I think I confused the last two movies. I this one should be 60. That's what I want.
I got 57.
I did 82 again, although I really want to change it, but I'm not going to.
You should have changed it.
Should have?
40. 40% on the 40.
Oh, there goes my lead.
Oh, Brian, you were doing back so well.
I think you're in the lead now.
Who, me?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I don't know. Yeah, it could be. It's pretty close. All right.
I feel like I'm gambling in Vegas. I just crapped out.
All right, so the early 90s was a good time if you wanted to see people take great liberties with these stories and completely screw them up or not. Big departure from the classic story based on a novel by the same name. Memoirs of an Invisible Man was seen as an attempt to turn a universal monster into kind of an action thriller. This is the one with Chevy Chase.
Oh, wow. Almost no recollection of this even happening.
Yeah, directed by John Carpenter.
What year are we talking
1992.
About? Wow, I see. I sort of remember that.
This is the one where Chevy Chase is this businessman and he's attending a party and something happens and he ends up invisible. And Sam Neill is the government agent who's trying to turn him into a spy. Mm. And he just wants to go back to being like a stock trader or whatever. Daryl Hannah's the girlfriend in this.
And it's not a comedy?
They didn't know what it was. It's kind of a comedy. It's kind of an action thriller.
It's no modern problems with Chevy Chase. Exactly. That's for damn sure. Chevy Chase made some really shitty movies. And by the way, the one movie I'm going to kind of try to think, you know, Fletch is the comedy Goonies of whatever generation, which is there's always a group that stands by Fletch and they're between the ages of 31 and 43 because you have to be the right age when a movie like that comes out. If you're too old or too young, you realize it's not that good a movie and not that funny. There's you can figure out that sweet spot.
I think that window is higher than you think it is.
Oh, either way, if you talk to somebody, I met some chick once. I'm like, what's your favorite comedy? She went, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I said, that's your favorite comedy? And she's like, all time? And then I did like a weird math, and I went, oh, you saw it when you're 14. When you're 14, everything is fucking funny.
Fletch tickled a young 12-year-old balding
Brian. If you see Fletch when you're 37 for the first time, you don't think it's that funny.
Yeah.
All right. This is okay. Now, this is really – we could really separate the men from the boys here. Oh, shit.
Yeah, it could.
Okay. Fuck, I don't remember this thing. All right, I'm going 19.
I had 33 across that and went 25.
I have 37 and I want to go lower, but you know what? Fuck it, 37.
Should have gone lower.
Fuck!
23.
Wow. Fuck, I had 22 written down and jumped. I had 22 written down and jumped down.
Allison, you got to go with your instincts. Ooh.
But my instincts are leading me astray.
It's tight. All right. What do we got? One more?
I got to go with my second instinct.
Your second instinct.
Go with Brian's second instinct. I think it's still better than your first.
In this case, it was.
Do we have it? Is that it?
I think we did five.
That's five, right?
That's
we did
five. The Wolfman.
Oh,
we
got to add it up. Ooh,
Dracula,
this is going to be very close.
I do have a tiebreaker in case of a tie.
All right. We'll see. Ooh, sorry, Allison. Ah, Allison, 88. Paul Bryan, 77. And Mr. Perfect. Matinee Idol. Adam, the cash register. Corolla, 59, everybody.
Very well done.
Yes. Allison, you really got out of the gate.
I know.
You really got out of that gate. And then, you know what? Listen.
Oh, good.
I don't like to comment on.
No, yeah.
Far
let's
be from me,
the,
but
the
you got up in your head.
Tape.
You got up in your head.
I know, I did. You know what? I asked what year. That's where it all fell apart for me.
Let me explain what happened.
Okay.
Brian, you've seen it many times in the NFL. Mm. You broke away. Your fullback, not used to touching the rock that much, but all of a sudden you had the rock in your hand, the fucking sea parted, and all of a sudden you saw daylight.
Yeah.
And you're toting that rock.
Yep.
For the goal line, and you're good 35 yards off, but there's nobody around you. Hmm. And you know what you did?
You looked down.
No. But you started looking at yourself on the Jumbotron.
Oh.
You started physically looking up at yourself on the Jumbotron.
Holy shit, look at me.
Here I am. Look at me. I'm in the lead.
You got in your head.
I got this.
You saw yourself on the Jumbotron, and the next thing you know, you started feeling your steps and running on your heels.
My feet feel funny.
Yeah.
And my hands do.
And a outside linebacker that was converted, and he played at Florida State.
Yeah, put a little weight on in the offseason.
He was a free safety at Florida State. The moon, and he just fucking came up on you. And when he came up on you, he punched a ball out. And you were looking, again, you're up.
Was that
looking
you
at
Brian?
Jumbotron.
Well, technically both of us.
It was both of us.
Yeah, but they can't take those two
one clipped
rounds
and one
away
hit.
From
right.
me.
No, they can't. Rotten or fresh. All right. Oh, man. You don't want to feel unsafe at home. Get some Simply Safe. Stop those porch pirates, everyone. Simply Safe, twoeyesinthere.com/Adam.
All right. And that was a Rotten Tomatoes game. How'd you guys do? We know you play along and we love it. So please keep doing that. And the rules change as we go along a little bit. The minus five rule hasn't been implemented yet.
No, this is right around when they're like debating: we play the short version of the theme song or the long version. Play the long version,
yeah,
and they have a little discussion before every time they play it. So this is very much the early days of the game.
Yeah, either way, just shows we love the Rotten Tomatoes game. We still play it a lot. It's our most played game in the history of the podcast.
Oh yeah.
All right, we have one more clip for you, and it is a Rotten Tomatoes game. So make sure to tune in and. Get your brains ready, memories for some great cinema. But first, gotta remind everybody to check out the Water Cooler Podcast. It's the podcast that I do with Dawson, who nips from a flask. Even during that podcast too, Kalen, Matt Fondelier's there, Gary Smith, and we hang out and talk about what it's like working on the show and just random things about our lives too. So tune in; it's a lot of fun. It's really casual. And I think you'll enjoy it. The Water Cooler Podcast. All right. We have one more clip. And it's another Rotten Tomatoes game about a week later.
Sixth time they play the game. The very last time they'll play it in January of 2014. The Workaholics were the guest. This is just a portion of Matt Atchley, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. Adam Carolla Show, 1251. It aired January 31st, 2014.
Matt, shall we do a little Rotten Tomatoes game?
Absolutely.
Oh, you want to hear the long song
yes.
or the short song?
Yes, absolutely.
He's the guy with the fresh and rotten movie game. Now it's time.
All right. Us, by the way, University of Buffalo tomorrow, 8 p.m. So come on down and see the podcast live, everybody. Also doing a little signing over at Lincoln Park at Binney's, and that's a little Mangria action. And Amherst, New York, and or Amherst, is that Dr. Drew? Is correct me on. Las Vegas coming up as well. You can go to CorollaDrinks.com and find out where we're going to be and where I'm going to be. All right, Matt, let's play this game. I love it. He picks a theme, and then we decide what the critics thought, and whoever has the lowest score, meaning was closest to what the critics thought after the five movies, is the winner with the combined score.
Right. All right, so it's right before the Super Bowl. So I'm picking football movies.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really excited this. It was really hard to cut it down to five, so I picked five that I hope everybody's seen. First up, we're going to go with based on the best-selling true story of a Texas high school football team, adapted by writer-director Peter Berg in 2004, Friday Night Lights.
Love me.
That was a movie?
Some Peter Berg.
It was a movie.
Allison. Good guy.
Billy Bob Thornton plays the coach.
It was really Billy Bob being Billy Bob and doing a great job. Like, not the crazy Billy Bob, not emaciated Billy Bob.
You tightened it up.
Just sort of Billy Bob with his shit together, just being a good old actor. Love me some Pete Berg. I count him as a friend. Good guy. I like this movie a lot. For a sports movie, very authentic.
I agree. And this, maybe Any Given Sunday will come up later. Maybe it won't. But this was the inverse of that to me, which is this was a very authentic movie that didn't get enough love. And everyone always brings up how great Any Given Sunday is. And it's like, all right, easy. It was over the top and it was silly. And this is a great movie.
All right. Let's write down our numbers. And again, this is the average critic review on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. I will go first. 81%.
I said 91, and I feel like I might be low.
And I said 85, but then when Brian said it didn't get enough love, I thought about going to 82, which would have kept the trend of Adam and me being 1 point apart. But no, I went with 85.
85? You're very close. Adam's right on the nose, 81% certified friend.
The thing that – thank you.
19% of critics didn't like this movie?
I don't want to tell you guys how to play the game. But
please do.
You go, well, it's a very good movie. It wasn't – I wouldn't call it great. You just go, it was very solid, but who could not like it? Like, there's certain movies where you go, understood, not everyone's cup of tea. And maybe – take a movie like, I don't know, Clockwork Orange or something like that, and you go, well, that's going to divide a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And there's some Scorsese stuff, and there's plenty of stuff we can all, John Waters movies. People are going to be deeply divided on those things. But you look at a movie like this and you go, all right, it's a football movie. It's a sports movie. Now go watch this movie. Who's the 19% who goes,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't think so.
I'll tell you what part of it in this particular case is. There are some negative reviews, especially from international critics, because we do bring in – so that's one of the things to kind of keep in mind.
Oh,
with
they want
it to movies.
Be about soccer.
Well, that's the thing. So, you know, we're getting reviews. We get a lot of reviews from the UK and from Australia, and they don't give a shit about football.
Oh.
So,
this changes everything.
So I went with 81. It was 81.
81%.
Jesus Christ. I'm fucking dominating.
There you go.
All right.
Moving to college ball. The Waterboy cemented Adam Sandler as a box office draw in 1998.
I had his fucking douchebag executive explaining to me that he was responsible for the two highest grossing sports comedies of all time. And there's that part of you for a minute you go, maybe I should respect this guy. And then he goes, The Waterboy and The Longest Yard, the remake. And you go, oh, those two piles of shit.
Also football movie.
Yeah.
You know, I will say The Waterboy was the biggest movie that Adam Sandler had at that point. It was the first time he opened to almost $40 million. It was twice what The Wedding Singer had done
right
in its opening weekend, which was his previous biggest hit.
This one is tough because even though it was a piece of shit, some people liked it. Some people laughed. I hardly know what to do on this one. There's no way that – but it wasn't – you know, grown-ups too, in terms of
There's a couple jokes in here that have.
Yeah, I'm sure the critics. All right, let's see. We're gonna write a number down. Wow, I don't know. All right, I wrote down 44%.
I wrote down 48, but I changed it to 55, so I'm going with 55. I'm going to give two answers each time.
I wrote down 46.
Wow.
Very close.
The score is 35%.
Oh, God damn.
God damn. The pusher man.
Stuck with my first instinct.
I said 44.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking to Gary, who's doing the tabulating.
Really? Because it sounds like you're bragging is what you're doing.
I said 81. And Matt, the first movie was?
81.
Oh, there you go.
Now thanks. It sounds
just like for clarity. Gary wanted to know. Clarification.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, boss.
Okay.
All right. Getting a little more serious in college ball, we're going to go north to Notre Dame for the story of a guy whose dream is to play for the Fighting Irish. The year is 1993. The movie is Rudy.
Ooh. Now, again, who could not like this movie?
Yeah.
On the other hand, when you find out that X amount of percent of people did not like it, you go, what the fuck? But we did get into this with the international community a little bit here.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to write my number down. All right. Everyone ready?
Yeah.
85%.
I said 90. I should have learned my lesson with the Friday Night Lights, but this one had the factory worker thing in it. There was a lot more going on than just football.
Mm-hmm.
I said 91.
91. Adam, you're on fire. The score is 84%.
Oh, damn it. And now, again, I don't like to brag, but just give me 20 minutes.
Do it this once.
Who are the 16% of escape convicts who you have working for you who have weighed in on this movie and went, no, do not see it?
Yeah, this is a wildly crowd-pleasing movie. This, right,
this is one of the movies that makes dudes cry.
And let me say this, too. You are not – I've had this happen with my own movie before, but with anything where people – I guarantee the 16% are like, well, I don't like sports movies. Well, fuck you. I don't like movies that take place in Elizabethan times, but it's unfair for me to go review them and just go, I don't like it. It sucked, as I say all the time. If you don't like sushi, then don't review fucking sushi bars. You can't go in and go to a good sushi bar and go, well, it sucked, but I don't like sushi. I feel like that 16% are just people that don't like sports movies and went, fuck it. But you can't do that. You have to go for people who do like sports movies or any movies.
That's why we cast a wide net. That's why there's 37 reviews. So ultimately...
All right.
Still a recommendation. It's still 84%. That's a high score.
Okay, no. That's
not high enough.
No.
All right.
For this game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up, the movie that won Sandra Bullock the Academy Award, The Blind Side.
Oh, I forgot. That's going to be one of those very forgettable movies in terms of her and her Academy Award when you stand back and look at her body of work.
You're 100% right.
Because it seems so commercial and sort of pedestrian.
She won
and
the Golden Globe for this. She
was so brave. She dyed her hair.
A barely good movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, she was in stuff like The Net.
The thing about that movie.
Speed 2.
That movie just played it right down the middle all the way.
No chances. Mm-hmm.
Everybody was exactly who they should have been, and there were no complexities at all. There wasn't any moments where you kind of went, that character is good but flawed, you know, or anything. It's just like, she's an angel, he's a saint, boom, I got this kid. And maybe that's the way things went down, but at a certain point, you just...
Yeah, you don't have to make a movie about it in that case.
Right. All right. Quint was on the show when I was doing that thing for the veterans. All right. Blind Side.
I think critics overreacted this
movie. I gotta write. Sorry. I liked it. I mean, they like to like these kinds of movies, but then there can be a backlash and all that kind of stuff. Jesus, I'm a little torn. I'm going to be pissed if this thing's higher than Rudy and or Friday Night Lights. I'm going 79%.
I'm guessing it is higher than Rudy. I went 87%.
I went 89.
66%.
No!
Did not fool the critics.
I've never been so glad to be so wrong. Yeah, this is a barely good movie.
I think what you would say about it is it's a movie of the week type movie.
Yep.
In the sense that you know everything that's going to happen before it happens. It feels good. If somebody said this wasn't based on a true story, you wouldn't even watch it. You just go, oh, get the fuck out of here. But the idea that it actually happened and that Michael Orr, I think, is playing in the NFL, yeah, and you go, okay, that's now right, it's interesting because it did happen. But there's no zigs and zags all along the way. Everything is perfectly, nicely executed in a big pile of sort of eh.
It's the movie equivalent of like the police procedural, right? Like right, the Law and Order. Like, you know how it's going to go.
Right.
It's and that worked out very well for them, actually. This movie was the first movie to cross $200 million with just one actress as like the name star. It opened – I was looking this up earlier. It opened to like $38 million, and then the second week it did even better.
Mm-hmm.
Because people went the audience went crazy over this movie.
Well, no matter what we say about, you know, if it bleeds, it leads and all that kind of stuff about – the news and all the depravity and all the pain and all the anguish and everything, like, we do love a good feel-good story, yeah, almost, you know, more than anything. As much as we push against it as a society, we really do love that, where the diminutive little white woman helps the giant black man to overcome his obstacles and make his way. We love that shit. We don't admit to it that often, but we do love it.
Right.
All right. Up
all right,
number five.
Last one. You were right. I brought it up earlier. Oliver Stone's take on professional football, Any Given Sunday.
Now, I will say this about this movie. This is a movie I would not call a good movie, but I would watch it all day long. There's a lot of good stuff going on in this movie. Mm-hmm. In isolated bits and pieces, like LT.
Yeah, there's five or six really good scenes, and it's a 2.5-hour movie.
Right. But there's
The cast alone.
There's certain movies that are just incredibly watchable, or just, and I think I give Oliver Stone credit for this in his weirdness, and he's probably gone off the deep end by now, but this is probably about the time he was sliding off, but we could still grab his, he was hanging onto a root, yeah, that was off the side of the crazy cliff. But interesting enough, and enough going on, and enough super interesting people populating this thing and shot in such a way that was just interesting enough that you just sort of would hang with it. And it would be one of those things where it's like I said, you know, it's a Twinkie. It's not good pastry. It's a Twinkie. Mm. But it still satisfies in its own way. And I would probably, you know, look, Nebraska is going to be 10 times higher on the tomato meter. If you gave me a chance a year from now to watch one movie stem to stern, I'd probably go with this one over Nebraska. That's the sad thing about me. All right. What the hell could this have got? Interesting, incredibly flawed.
Yeah. Some good stuff. Definitely some good stuff in the movie.
Now, I think you guys are going to have to go with the haymaker here.
Someone break that down for me.
I need you to physically go out to the barn, get some fucking hay.
Okay.
No, I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but I'm in the lead. The way I've
my job being playing this game. Right. Okay. So I have to go far in the other direction is what you're saying.
You have to be on the nose. And Adam has to be at the other end of the spectrum.
So you're saying I should not go with 63?
What I'm telling you and or Brian is, this is the point where you want to go with 81% or 11%. I don't think if you want to ride or whatever, if you think it's 37%, now's the time to go 70% or 1%. That's my take. Hmm. It's not going to work, but
it's your compelling. Best chance.
Neil's neither's a Hail Marys, right, don't work that often, neither do onside kicks. But that's why they don't do onside kicks so often in the first half. They do it when they have to. These are
I tuned out. Sorry.
These are what I'm saying is you don't. You can get close, but I may get close. That's not gonna bridge the gap between us. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I know.
I still don't know how I'm gonna do it. I still don't know how what direction to go.
The Statue of Liberty.
I understand. Why don't you choose what I should? No.
All right. This is tough because I have no idea where this is. Huh. But I'm going to say under 50%.
Ooh.
Because I don't think it was good. But I think from a strategical standpoint, if I just went 50%, then if it was 71, I would win, and if it was 18%, I would win.
You might. You have the lead.
23%.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to say 50%.
I say 69.
Well, I was going to say 63, but based on what Adam's saying, I should either go 1 or 100.
Don't listen to me. I'm saying it's Hail Mary time. That's all I'm saying.
63.
The score is exactly 50%.
God damn it!
Wow. Wow.
If only I'd gone amazing. 1 or 100.
Wow.
I think that's the lowest score that you've had on this, Adam.
That's got to be. That's two out of the five were heads up right on, 81 and 50.
Well played, sir.
Guess what, Brian?
Huh.
You and I, what? Someone who knows everything about movies and someone sports. Who doesn't know dick about movies or sports, are tied.
Damn it. Wow. Tied for second.
I averaged less than five off per
That's amazing.
Per whatever. Yeah. Well, you know, it goes to show that the first time you came in, we started talking about superhero movies, and I got creamed by Brian, mm-hmm. and then you started talking about football movies, and then I'd seen the football movies, so I think that helped.
Well, we'll do these again, because there were a lot of football movies I was thinking about pulling, stuff like The Program, sure. I almost pulled Necessary Roughness.
Ooh. Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues.
I will watch the shit out of that.
Heaven Can Wait, I almost came in with.
Nice.
There's a lot. The tiebreaker for today, which I'll save for another time, was Brian's song.
Oh, makes me cry when I hear that music. And to be fair, I only went 50% because it was right in the middle, mm-hmm. and I thought that was my safe bet.
It turned out it was a very safe bet.
Yeah. All right.
Rotten or fresh? Actually.
And that was a Rotten Tomatoes game for the last time we played in January 2014. We do love playing it, and we played it weekly back then too. So hope you enjoyed this slew of Rotten Tomatoes clips, and that'll do it for Corolla Classics. Today, actually, we only have two more episodes left till the Adam Carolla Show returns on Monday, so we'll hang out with you for the rest of the weekend, and then you're getting all new episodes. So,
hey, Chris,
yes,
will the new producer let me keep doing the show?
I will have to ask him, but I'm going to say no.
Him
or I don't know,
a man or a woman.
I don't like this, Gio. I don't like all the speculation. Because I am a little nervous myself. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. We're hanging out with you for the rest of the weekend, so tune in to Corolla Classics. Until then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.